On tonight's episode of Locked On Broncos, I'm joined by Locked On Broncos avid listener, JCarry2 on Twitter, at JCarry2, T-O-O. He joins me here on Locked On Broncos to talk about the current state of what's going on in Denver with the Broncos and obviously analyzes this week's matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals, as well as his take on the lack of leadership that the Denver Broncos are experiencing on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball, combined with the element of what the Broncos are doing right now at quarterback with Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian. He gives his analysis here tonight on Locked On Broncos. Your show starts right now.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat! The ball is free! Denver's got it! Touchdown, Denver!
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Right now, I'm joined by Locked On Broncos avid listener, at JCarry2, who on Twitter, you can follow him at JCarry2, T-O-O, on Twitter. He joins me here tonight to talk about his fandom of the Denver Broncos and obviously his thoughts and his views on how the Denver Broncos 3-6 season has been so far. So, welcome, man. Welcome to the show. It's good to have you here, Locked On Broncos.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Thank you.
So,
pleasure being here.
As soon as I took over the show, you were one of the first people to kind of respond on Twitter and kind of congratulate me for taking over the show, man. So I definitely remember that, and it's good to have you on here. You know, I think you have a similar sense of humor as me because you tend to pick up on all of my catchy little catchphrases that I hide within the shows and I always see about it on Twitter. But you know, obviously the season at 3-6 for the Denver Broncos right now hasn't been ideal. And the first 2 weeks, we were kind of befuddled a little bit because we looked at the Denver Broncos and how they were playing, and then obviously the dismantling of the Dallas Cowboys. We had a lot of high hopes after the first two games of the regular season that the Denver Broncos this year, they look like they're going to be a very good team. But then ever since that game, you know, they struggled on the road against Buffalo. They barely snuck it out at home against Oakland, who was down for a little bit. EJ Manuel came in and started lighting it up for them. And then you win that game, you have a bye week, and then you have a 3-1 record heading into the bye week, week four bye week, and then you come out and you lose five straight games, and during this five-game stretch of losses, it's been very, very difficult to watch from a fan's perspective and a guy who's been watching the Denver Broncos for a long time, listening to the show. Obviously, everybody hears me bicker about what's bothering me about how Denver's playing right now, but I kind of want to hear a different person's perspective on the struggles that Denver has had this season, especially the quarterback, the record, 0-5, the coaching. So now is your chance to kind of just let it rip. I want to hear your thoughts on the season so far at 3-6.
Oh, man. I mean, okay, so you hit it on the head. You know, the first four games, I'm thinking to myself, all right, Dallas Cowboys, we absolutely demolished them, right? Okay, cool, perfect. This is exactly what we're supposed to do. This is what we plan to do for the entire offseason, all the moves that we, I guess, thought we were making, to shore up the offensive line. And even with the draft, we were bombarded with so many messages of, oh, we got speed here. And it just, I don't know, it's all falling apart. I think that we had a system, obviously. I guess, you know, every team has a system. I get that that's how they have to work. But that system was operated by a Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. So him leaving left a giant hole, like a hole that, I mean, I knew that we would have issues. I never imagined it would be like this so quickly after Peyton Manning left and so quickly after DeMarcus Ware left. I think that the formula that we've been using since, I don't know, 2012 or so, it was dominant. It was dominant. But now the entire league is onto it. That's honestly what I think.
Okay.
I think that if we keep trying to to use the same system without the pieces that are needed to make that system what it was, we look crazy. It's like, you know, it's like putting a Mercedes emblem on the front of your old beat up Honda. You know what I mean? Like we can call ourselves a fast car all we want, but if we're clunking, we're clunking. Right now we're clunking. So
absolutely. You know, you posed a very great point in your thoughts and your analysis on there. You mentioned Peyton Manning and you mentioned DeMarcus Ware and just how, you know, the Denver Broncos since 2012 have had a system in place where offensively, when you have a first ballot Hall of Famer in Peyton Manning, who was able to light up the scoreboard in 2013, Broncos go to the Super Bowl, lose 43-8. You know, you kind of look at 2013 and you compare it to 2015 and you wonder, well, the Denver Broncos would have been unstoppable had they had the offense in 2013 and the defense that they had in 2015. Why can't they have both? Right. It seems like if we have everything that we need on one side of the ball, we're lacking significantly on the other side of the ball. And for the last three seasons, that's been on the offensive side of the ball. Even Gary Kubiak, when he came in his first year under Peyton Manning's final season as a quarterback in the NFL, Peyton Manning struggled in Gary Kubiak's system, but we've seen over the last couple weeks, despite Peyton Manning getting a little older or the system that Gary Kubiak ran, we saw Trevor Siemian run the system last year with Gary Kubiak, and now under Mike McCoy, he ran a different system. And now you're potentially going to move to your third quarterback now in terms of you had Trevor Siemian week one, now you're on Brock Osweiler, and now we could potentially be seeing Paxton Lynch. To me, in my opinion, one of the biggest areas that has hurt the Denver Broncos overall is just a lack of leadership. And I feel like ever since Peyton Manning left, you lost the leadership on the offensive side of the ball. You got to wonder, who's the guy on the offensive side of the ball right now that is that bona fide leader that'll chew your butt if you're not doing your assignment? None of the quarterbacks are that kind of person. They're not that kind of leader yet. Even though that, you know, a lot of people say, well, Trevor Siemian commands the huddle almost like Peyton Manning. Not really. Not really. I haven't seen that, you know, physically. Brock Osweiler is a nice guy. Brock Osweiler is a rah-rah type guy, but he's not going to chew anybody's butt if they're not getting their assignment. You know, I think he tries to rally everybody together, which I can't fault him for that, but there is no leadership on offense. And defensively, ever since DeMarcus Ware left, I feel like DeMarcus Ware was the glue to the leadership that was on the Denver Broncos outside of T.J. Ward. And then they released T.J. Ward this offseason. That was a very difficult move, and I feel like the Broncos are struggling on both sides of the ball this year significantly when it comes to leadership. What are your thoughts on that?
You touched on something with Peyton. I'm sorry, with Trevor Siemian. Okay, so you know he watched Peyton Manning for what, 4 years? You know, it's expected that he would at least have some idea of what it's like to run a huddle. But again, Trevor Siemian's personality is not Peyton Manning's personality. So fine. If Trevor can't be the leader, even though, you know, he's the quarterback, so be it. I guess everyone looks to, I guess, who would be the highest paid player, obviously, on offense right now, which I believe is Demaryius Thomas.
Yep.
Demaryius Thomas, I think that, you know, Broncos country has beat themselves over the head for years trying to get Demaryius Thomas out of his shell, and it's never going to happen. So we can't look to Demaryius for that leadership. He may very well be a leader. Obviously, I'm not in the locker room. He may very well be a leader. He may, you know, pull aside a receiver or whomever after the game or on the sideline. But I mean, you're never going to turn on the TV, primetime football, see a receiver on the other side make a mistake, and then go see Demaryius Thomas go get in his face about it. Like, that's just not who he is. So then you move over to the other side. You got Emmanuel Sanders, polarizing, very polarizing player. I thought we have so many polarizing personalities. Either you love him or hate him. But so Emmanuel Sanders, he loves to talk, right? But talking doesn't necessarily mean leadership. So after that, if you can't look at your two playmakers, you can't look at anyone on the offensive line. I mean, some would say C.J. Anderson, but again, we don't have that. Mm-hmm. So it would have to go on the defensive side. I mean, I guess one would think that Von Miller would be the, you know, quote unquote, assistant coach or player coach, whatever you call them.
Yeah.
He is, for the most part. I mean, look at the work that he's put in with Garrett Bowles. I mean,
Yeah.
For one, when all the draft and all this stuff came out, you know, of course everyone gets their backstory dug up, blah, blah, blah. I never once thought that Garrett Bowles was some type of issue, you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone pegged him out to be. And that's clearly what we've seen so far. Obviously, he's able to take direction. He's able to take direction well. He's able to self-diagnose his mistakes. So I feel like what's going on right now on the team is a lot of players are doing the internal evaluation. You know, if they had a bad game, you know, we see all the pressers, and especially these last five games, and I mean, everyone's pissed off. You know, you see Derek Wolfe, you see Shaq Barrett, you see Will Parks, you see Justin Simmons. Everyone has their comments about what they need to do and what they're not doing. It's just there's no one right now who is gelling the team together to get them on the same page, to get everyone. I mean, it's kind of tough to say, you know, pick yourself up, get out of that ditch. But, I mean, when you've lost five straight, it's rough.
It's very hard. Very, very difficult.
You pretty much had a, right, you know what I'm saying? It's very hard when you've lost five straight. You pretty much, I mean, you had barely a winning season the season prior. So it's just, you know, I feel that I would expect Vance Joseph. He is the head coach. He is the top man. We all know that Elway is going to have his opinions on things because, I mean, he's the man above the coach, you know what I'm saying? But I think that Vance is down there. He's in the trenches. He's with the players. We know that Vance is a very player-oriented coach, but he's also a coach. So I think that he would need to be the one at this point in time to be that glue, to bring everyone together, bring the offense together, to bring the defense together, to bring the special teams, say, hey, look, I know that we are not playing our best football right now, but I know that we can play our best football right now. What's the big joke right now in Broncos country? How many times have we heard, oh, we had a great practice. We had an awesome practice. It was an awesome practice today. And then even guys like yourself, reporters, I mean, you guys see it. You go to Death Valley, you go to the games, and you see that there is a huge disconnect between, you know, what they do in the classroom, what they do in the meeting room, what they do in the practice field, and then you get to the stadium and put pads on and run full speed at each other, and suddenly it's an issue. So I feel that the coach should be the one to try to rein everyone in. Yes, it's Vance's first year, but it's not his first year coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So he should know how to motivate, you know?
Absolutely.
Past that, I mean, you have Mike McCoy. I mean, Mike McCoy's been a head coach before. So maybe, I don't know what the situation is in the coach's room, but, I mean, it might be a situation where, you know, he doesn't want to step on Vance's toes. Or, we never know. We can throw shots all day. But as far as a leader, it just goes to show how important it is to cherish your Hall of Fame caliber players when they're there, because they're Hall of Fame caliber for a reason.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, you look at DeMarcus Ware's, you know, impact that, you know, when DeMarcus Ware came in, he came in at a point where Von Miller and his career was at a point where he was struggling a little bit, you know, where Von Miller was dealing with, you know, being on the NFL substance abuse watch list, and all of a sudden DeMarcus Ware came in and immediately helped Von Miller get his act together. And I think that is super, super important, you know, for fans to really realize that DeMarcus Ware played a major role in turning Von Miller's life around. And even Von Miller himself admits that if it wasn't for DeMarcus Ware, I don't know where I would be, because he had that guidance. He had that leadership. Von Miller had Peyton Manning on his team the year he tore his ACL. He went out against the night before they played the Houston Texans when Peyton Manning broke the record, and Von Miller broke curfew. And Peyton Manning suggested to John Fox that he, you know, send Von Miller home. Bench him for the game. Send him home. He broke our curfew. And as a team captain, Peyton Manning was furious about that. Well, Von Miller goes out the next day and tears his ACL and has surgery. At that point, they bring, you know, DeMarcus Ware in a year later. at that point, you have to wonder. That's where we started seeing this, the shift and the change a little bit. It was almost to the point where DeMarcus Ware came in and Von Miller stopped talking. Von Miller started listening, and that's something that DeMarcus Ware recollects very well about Von Miller, and I think his impact has definitely helped him. Now, John Elway faced a lot of criticism when he drafted Shane Ray and Bradley Roby in round one, and the reason was that is because they had character issues apparently at Ohio State and at the University of Missouri. There was a lot of question marks, especially with Shane Ray getting involved with a marijuana offense, and then obviously some Bradley Roby incidents as well. Fans are like, oh, well, now we're just drafting guys that have off-the-field issues. Well, guess what? Enter a guy like DeMarcus Ware, a guy who's a leader that people look up to, and he really renovated that defense. Him and Wade Phillips, in my opinion, really renovated that defense to a point where everybody was bought into the culture. The culture changed. It was either you're either with us or you're not with us, and you're going to be on the outside looking in because we have something very special here. Now, when I look at the Denver Broncos roster still, you know, they have so much talent. They have so much talent on paper that they shouldn't be losing the way they're losing week in and week out. And I feel like the fans' biggest frustration when it comes to Vance Joseph, absolutely, he's a first-year head coach. However, like you said, this isn't his first year ever coaching. Look at a guy, for example, in Los Angeles, in Sean McVay, the amount of leadership that he has and how vocal he is with his players, his team, being the youngest head coach in NFL history. I was watching this feature on him. I don't know if you saw me retweet it or share it, but it blew me away because, you know, Sean McVay is in the office at 5 o'clock in the morning and he leaves home around 7:30. He leaves the office around 7:30 in the evening, and he just he walks the walk, and he walks it. And for a guy to be younger, you know, 30 years old, and then you have obviously 70-year-old Wade Phillips ahead of you, and as you're the head coach, that stuff right there is kind of goes to show you how much of a leader Sean McVay is and how bought in his team is, because the Los Angeles Rams are rolling over everybody, and it's kind of fun to see. Which brings me to my next point before we get here off the air. We've seen this year, we've seen the renaissance of Jared Goff under Sean McVay. We've seen the rise of Deshaun Watson in Houston under Bill O'Brien. We've seen Carson Wentz under Doug Peterson start to flourish in an offensive system, and Alex Smith even has had one of his best years of his career this year. And the reason that we're seeing this kind of shift and this change is because we've got these teams that are actually tailoring their offense to the strengths of their quarterback, not to the strengths of their receivers, but to the strengths of their quarterback. When you look at Alex Smith, you look at obviously the intermediate, but he's taking deep shots now. They're running RPO, run pass option plays. And then you have Carson Wentz doing a lot of empty motion out, just quick passes, or obviously rolling out. It's not the standard pro style drop back, sit in the pocket that we're used to seeing in the NFL with Tom Brady, for example. They're starting to evolve to now where the NFL has become this dynamic machine where there is a college element added on to a professional style offense, and it's working because they have quarterbacks, they have coordinators, they have a scheme and a system that is tailor-made to the strengths of the quarterbacks. And I believe, based on what I'm hearing in Dove Valley, with Paxton Lynch becoming the number two quarterback for the Denver Broncos, going to back up Brock Osweiler, I think we're going to see Paxton Lynch very, very soon as the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos, based on the moves that have been made. From what I'm hearing in practice, they are actually installing plays in practice that are tailor-made for Paxton Lynch. And at that point, I feel like the NFL, Mike McCoy himself, he's a very bright coach. He's a very smart, offensive-minded coach. When you look at how the NFL is having success with Carson Wentz, and obviously as an offensive coordinator, he's been able to witness, you know, guys like Carson Wentz eat up the Denver Broncos defense, doing what they do. I'm sure he watches some film on Los Angeles as well as Kansas City. He gets to experience that. I think the Denver Broncos and the NFL are shifting towards a time or an era where, you know what, it's not predicated anymore based on the scheme or the strengths of your offensive line or your receivers. It's based on what can your quarterback do, because your quarterback is essentially one man that's commanding a total of 11 people on the field. So that's something I'm really interested in seeing. So one final question I want to leave with you before we get off air is, what is your thoughts on the Broncos quarterback situation right now with Brock Osweiler and now Paxton Lynch being named the number two quarterback, which means Trevor Siemian is now demoted and won't be active on Sunday or for the rest of the year, barring an injury to any of those guys. It's pretty crazy. What are your thoughts? Because this just all of a sudden came out of nowhere on Wednesday, and here we are on Friday, and it just seems like it's heating up a little bit. What are your thoughts on that?
At this point, I believe that this is the perfect opportunity to right the wrong direction that we've been going in. So I understand that Gary Kubiak, when during his tenure, he had a system, he stuck to his system, he wanted Trevor Siemian. I get it. I understand. We all now know that Kubiak and Elway clashed over that decision greatly. Obviously, Elway wanted Pat to touch. Fine. So we didn't really necessarily take the time to have developed packs in the way we should have, because we kept going with Trevor because Trevor practiced better than Paxton. It's just, it was just a very messy, messy situation. Brock left, you know, it's just, right now I think is the perfect time, because you have to remember, they were calling Jared Goff a bust last year, this time last year.
Yep, they were.
And look at him now. They kept him in there. They kept sending him out there. They kept telling him, hey, you know, don't let that bad pass get to you. Don't let that loss get to you. And look where he's at now. So, right now, I think it's time to just throw Paxton Lynch into the fire. We drafted him. We're going to have him for, I'm assuming, for at least 2 more years. I don't know if we'll pick him up for a 5th year. That all depends on how he plays. But, again, we don't know how he plays because we've only seen him in a couple games. You know, it's time. It's time. We already have the losing record. What else can we possibly lose, barring, you know, injury and stuff like that? It's time for him to put him out there. I say give Trevor... just give him a break, man. Put him on the bench. let him go back to the practice squad. I like Trevor a lot. Don't get me wrong, I like him a lot. But we have to play to win.
So, absolutely.
If Brock just doesn't have it. I mean, I understand that he's a veteran. I mean, Trevor Siemian's a veteran, but. I think it's time to put Paxton in. Let's just put Paxton in. Let him get used to the offense. Let him learn to read those defenses. Other defenses besides our defense, because even our defense isn't the same anymore. So it's time for him to get out there. It will be a good chance for him to get out there. What do we have coming up? We have like, the Redskins coming up. We have the Colts coming up.
Oakland.
The Chiefs again. Oakland again. It's time for him to learn.
Yep.
And honestly, I think it's time to put up or shut up. Paxton, you got you have the steering wheel. Let's go ahead and see what you can do. And just keep with him through the off season into the preseason next year. I don't know what's going to happen at the draft, but as it stands right now, we have a first round quarterback that we aren't using. I don't know any other teams that have a first round quarterback who isn't injured that they aren't utilizing like us. So I put them in. Like I said, what else? What more can we lose? I mean, we're 3-6 now. If nothing else, if passing is just that terrible, then I think we're cruising for a top 5 pick. I think that there's at least 5 quarterbacks that we can get.
Yeah.
I say put them in. I'm at that point in my life right now.
Absolutely. I think you make a great point, too. You know what? At this point, you really have nothing to lose, because right now, if the Denver Broncos lose one more game, you can almost assume that they're not going to make the playoffs. Right now, sitting at 3-6, if Denver were to miraculously run the table and win 7 straight games, they have a chance to make a wild card spot in the playoffs. You got the Dolphins that are fighting for a playoff spot as well. You got the Bills fighting for a playoff spot. It's definitely difficult right now in the AFC, but why not? You have a first-round draft pick, and I think I think it's a domino effect based on what we saw yesterday with Tyrod Taylor getting benched. This could be a move by John Elway, because all of a sudden after that was announced, John Elway talked to Vance Joseph, and Vance Joseph decided, here's what I have to do. I have to figure out if my first round draft pick can play football. And I think we are going to see not Trevor Siemian, but Paxton Lynch from the rest of the way, and Brock Osweiler will be the Denver Broncos backup quarterback. And if Paxton Lynch doesn't work out, then I can see John Elway making a push to trade for Tyrod Taylor. I think that is a move that maybe accelerated this a little quicker, because as we were told on Monday, Paxton Lynch was still 2 weeks out to being the rest of the year to not being ready to be able to play. And so at that point, all of a sudden it flipped flip-flop in 2 days that he's ready to play on Sunday. Something was definitely going wrong. There was definitely a lapse of communication amongst that, because the message that conveyed to fans was strictly along the lines of, well, Paxton Lynch doesn't look like he's going to be ready to play this year. I don't know if he's going to play this year. We'll have to look to next year. At this point, Paxton Lynch is primed to play, and why not? You have nothing to lose. You go through the motions. If he plays well during that and you lose games, that's okay. You want to be able to perform well, even if you lose games, and it's just the thing that you can measure right now with Paxton Lynch. Can he perform well? Can he limit turnovers? Can he protect the ball? The wins and losses will take care of itself at that point. So I think that is something that we really have to analyze going forward. And obviously, if you're not busy on Sunday, you know, join me on Locked On Broncos on Periscope. We'll talk about it during the halftime, pregame, and postgame report for the Denver Broncos. It's going to be a very, very interesting matchup, to say the least. And I look forward to it, man. But like I said, real quick, before we get off air, tell fans and listeners of Locked On Broncos how they can follow you on Twitter and how they can get in contact with you.
I'm pretty much, I guess I'm a pretty much Twitter-only guy. I'm everywhere, though. You can just search anywhere. It's just jcarrytoo, jcarrytoo. Go and pull up a chair, man. I'm all about the jokes. And obviously during the week, I'm about, you know, Broncos analysis. But on Sundays, it's all Broncos, man. So just come in, join the discussion. I'm always tweeting you, Cody. So, you know, it's fun.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I appreciate you for joining me here tonight. I will be sure to include you and tag you on Twitter when we post the episode here tonight. That way fans can follow you and get a great take of your analysis as well on the Denver Broncos. So, like I said, you're listening to at JCarry2 on Twitter. Follow him at JCarry, C-A-R-E-Y-T-O-O. Follow him on Twitter. I'll tag him on the episode. But thank you so much for joining me here on Fan Friday at Locked On Broncos.